I was going to go and run and grab my poem, but okay. I think I have one in okay. mind that I okay. can share. First of all, y'all are so sweet, and I'm really, really excited, and I'm so happy to have been blessed to have been on this project. And yeah, I'm going to share a poem for you all. A lot of what I write has to do, one, with my identity. So yeah, I wrote a poem about my name because I have a very long and unique name. But I also like writing poetry about being a woman and what that journey is like. So this is a poem about my journey through womanhood. According to my auntie, there were words a little girl should never yell, like no. No is too much of a sinkhole, stretches her mouth and fills it with sand, and no one wants a girl with more rocks than all the stars inside her ready to throw. Everyone is afraid that if they ask loud enough, God will answer, and they will have to listen. Little girls have the power to ask and make everyone listen. And there are ways in which a girl should never be able to bend her spine over something so frail like self-worth. Her body, so powerful, will earthquake all over it, and the world will ask her to become smaller, trade power for a smallness that won't scare them. But little girls can scare the living crap out of anything, and little girls have been scaring the life out of your boot-stomping patriarchy since the dawn of time. Perhaps this is why we hold them like near-invisible pieces of thread, ready to be dropped and lost at moment's notice, naming them fragile, like fragile will make them easier to cut and use. But with every drop of blood from scraped knee, we remind them that the ability to be broken does not quantify fragility. Girls do not break silently. We will crash and make you swallow the glass of our fragments. And never challenge a girl to a fight you are too sure you will win. You will lose. Like fishing boat to Mississippi River tide, her mouth is unforgiving despite the smiles. And little girls know the thunderclap of survival, how to become a lightning storm when provoked. There is nothing scarier than a girl who knows when to push back. The rosebud is nature's most deceptive fist. Little tomboy girls are not often told they are beautiful, but will stay awake at night with a flashlight to tell it to themselves. They will paint their own rose petals red until the world will tell them to stop. Beware of the ones that don't. And when the bow of girlhood finally breaks and all the water comes rushing in and the fish with their mouths flapping tell you to now be woman, now be the body the world will simultaneously pray in and desecrate, their mouths are just gasping for air. You are the dam that must withstand it all, and no one ever tells you how to mold this whirlwind of nature and thunder and fire and earthquake into woman. Sometimes little girl is just too stubborn to let her waves settle, so the body grows with a storm inside it. And sometimes becoming woman means digesting the harvest of little girl, little ocean, little Mississippi River tide, consuming everything, even the thorns and the alligators and the catcalls and the world praying and desecrating the broken rosebud fist, so tired of fighting when the glass has all been shattered. Becoming woman means letting little girl stretch into lightning storm just to make room for everything we must learn to carry. Remember, womanhood is the revenge for girlhood.
Whoa. That was the youth poet laureate of Denver, Toluwanimi Obiwole, reading a poem of hers on the Wild Rumpus Show on KDNK this morning. Did you hear it? Did you miss it? Does anybody have any Kleenex? That's a whopper of a woe coming out of my mouth. Let me pick up my chin off my chest to say that Tolua is one of the four hosts for the Youth Poetry Slam tonight at the 3rd Street Center beginning at 6:30. If you'd like to know what our youth are thinking and feeling, you might want to head over there tonight. It's sponsored by Aspen Words, and this is the fourth year of the Poetry Slam. And believe me, it really is worth seeing. I've seen two of them, and you can get more information at aspenwords.org. Hello, Indigenous Earthlings. Here we are again, seven revolutions later, balancing into another express yourself. I'm Luke Nessler. Well, Brad Mansovitz stopped by Katie and Kay yesterday to fill me in about a new music series taking over Justice Knows during the month of March. Brad Mansovitz joins the show now. Hi, Brad.
Hi. Hi, Luke.
How are you?
I'm sick as a dog.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm great. Sorry, I'm fine. That. Look, I mean, are you kidding me? There are so many souls in this world that are so far worse off than me. I'm here at KDNK having an interview with you. How bad could it possibly be?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm doing great. Could be worse. I'm doing great. I really am.
Worse. Even I'll admit that. It could be worse. Well, you are now the music curator of Justice Snows.
For a little more than a year now, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. How did you gain that lofty title?
I was relentless in my pursuit. Jackson Emmer is a friend of mine, and he was the music curator, my predecessor, for a few years. And it's a little known fact that I used to book bands for small restaurant bars in Santa Cruz, California, back in the day when I was living there. And since moving to the Valley, I have not been involved in that kind of work until Jackson vacated and Kylie finally acquiesced to my relentlessness, if that's a word. And I love it. I'm involved in music and music production on a lot of different levels, and I absolutely love being back in the game, even on a small scale like Justice Knows.
Huh. Well, you have a series coming up the whole month of March. It's an Americana series.
Yes, it's true, and it's not all that atypical from what we normally book there. You know, I mean, and it's also such a broad genre; almost anything fits into it. But,
yeah, sort of like gumbo.
But yes, a musical gumbo, exactly. Which is that American or is it French?
Absolutely,
okay.
Louisiana, all
okay,
the way.
Okay. But in March, focusing particularly on music that is distinctly American, yeah. With that in mind, I've tried to pay extra attention to the bands that we're selecting for the series. But this year, to try and make it, you know, unique we're focusing on women's voices,
okay,
as much as I possibly can. And that came out of a conversation I had with Scott Greenwood, who's associated with Nate Hancock and the Declaration and their organization Unite the Vibe. Scott and I were talking months ago about the Americana Music Series, and he threw out the idea, what about showcasing women singer-songwriters? And I immediately latched onto that. I thought that was a brilliant idea for a lot of different reasons. In June, I worked, actually, the Aspen Ideas Fest, and one of the presentations was all about investing in women and girls. The upshot of that presentation basically is that women and girls are very smart, they are worthy of investment, and they will save us all.
Exactly.
That was my takeaway.
It only took a few millennia to figure that one out.
It seems like we're still working it out, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Being a male, I haven't experienced this personally or directly, but it seems like the music business is mostly male dominated on a lot of different levels and scales, you know, whether it's a small scale of who's performing or who's actually, you know, in the record business. Again, I don't have a whole lot of experience with that. And oddly enough, a lot of the production work that I'm engaged in, I have very strong women supervisors that I report to, and they've all been great mentors. And then, of course, there's the current political and social climate of the country, and it just seems like this was a good idea, an idea whose time had been, I was going to say an idea whose time had come, but really an idea that's long overdue. And just totally appropriate. And why not? It seemed like that was a good direction to go in. And so as a result, I'm really sorry for the run-on sentence.
Oh, that's all right. Okay. I'll even let you dangle a participle if you want.
Whoa.
Okay. Okay, that maybe sounded a little weird. But, well, one of those women's names that I see listed is Suzanne Parrish. There's a name that's been in this valley forever.
And what's so strange about that for me is that I have really not come in contact with Suzanne up until very recently. We shared a stage during the memorial concert for Stuart Oxenhorn at the Wheeler Opera House just a couple weeks ago. And, of course, I'm very familiar with her bandmates, Michael Jude and Jean-Michel. And so I'm really pleased to have those three very heavy-hitter roaring fork musicians come and lay it down for us at Justice Knows. That's going to be huge.
What brand of Americana are they bringing? Because I can't picture Suzanne as a dusty, twangy troubadour. She's kind of a little bluesier, a little on the soul side.
Well, again, not being very familiar with her music, but I would agree with you based on what I saw and heard at the Wheeler a couple weeks ago. Everyone seems to agree that her voice is incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
And I think that regardless of what she's singing, how she's singing it is gonna blow people's minds.
Huh. Nice. But that's not first on your list. First on your list is the Lowdown Brass Band, which I confess I don't know anything about. So tell me.
Well, I am, you know, I mean, they're all great performances, I think. But I have to say, I'm really excited about Lowdown Brass Band. Probably that's, if I've got a pick here, I'd have to say that's nice. Probably close to number one.
March 1st.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's something I don't know that we've ever done at Justice Knows. And I believe that they are a complete, I mean, I think that's all they are, is just horns.
And, oh, how about that?
Yeah, from Chicago. But I think they're going to bring a party, you know. In the tradition of the Hot 8 brass band, I think that they're doing that kind of perhaps traditional brass band music, whatever that brings to mind, but also with sort of a modern funk influence. I think there's going to be a little bit of rap, hip hop elements to their performance. I just think it's so cool, you know, just the idea of a band that doesn't have a bass player but instead has a sousaphone, okay? That right there is enough to just, I want to go see that.
Yeah, and you got to figure that with, presumably there's four or five pieces in the band.
There are seven pieces.
Seven, okay, so that's a lot of arranging.
Yeah.
That's a lot of parts to arrange.
Yeah.
So I'll bet they're tight as hell.
I'm really excited to see them, and I'm so glad they're coming to visit us. Yeah. I'm excited about that one.
That sounds great. So you got Lowdown Brass Band, March 1st, then Suzanne, Michael Jude, Jean-Michel, Sneaky Pete and the Secret Weapons. We know them because they played Mountain Fair last summer.
Yeah.
So and you've got a full-on funk band in Justice Knows.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah. You know, how I do it is the bands will send me inquiries. They typically seek me out. And, you know, I get a lot of emails and most of them include links to music or videos of live performances, and if not, of course, I'll request that, and I immediately go and check out the link, and I know right away if I've got something that I want. It's got that thing, that gravitas, that beat, that tightness. I know within the first few bars, oh yeah.
Yeah.
And Sneaky Pete and the Secret Weapons, besides having a very cool name, has got that thing. I think it's harder and harder to be original in music. There's so many people out there making so many different kinds of music, and there's so many influences. As a musician in the Roaring Fork Valley myself, I play a lot of covers, and I do so as a tribute to my heroes, of course, but to have an original thought to be creative, I find that to be incredibly challenging. And so when I hear it, and when we have a chance to bring it to Justice Snows, and that's a rare opportunity, and I'm glad those guys accepted the invitation.
Yeah. Wow. That's going to power that room up, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll have to tell Kylie to make sure the ceiling tiles are well glued on. Yeah. Well, speaking of musical heroes, you also have John Carlin covering The Grateful Dead on one of these shows. Tell me a little about that one.
Well, I've been friends with John Carlin ever since I moved to the Roaring Fork Valley. In fact, the day I decided to move out here, I met John Carlin on a shuttle in Snowmass, and he was driving, and he was the first person I told, and the first person I met, and the first musician who invited me that night to come sit in and play with his band, Seventh Hour. And so I've known him for a long time, and of course, he's been heavily influenced by the Grateful Dead, and it occurred to me somewhere along pulling together this lineup that we would be really leaving something out that's really important if we didn't somehow tag that bag, if we didn't somehow pay homage to one of the greatest American bands that ever was and probably ever will be. They have a staying power, the Grateful Dead. And so there's a lot of musicians in the Roaring Fork Valley. I can think of a few off the top of my head who cover the Dead well. And I think John Carlin is one of those people. And so he's going to be our resident Grateful Dead professor for the evening. And I think he'll be able to take us there and we'll be able to do justice to the contribution that the Grateful Dead have made to American music. I'd be hard-pressed to think of a better example of American music than the Grateful Dead.
Huh, good point. And that's Sunday, March 12th. And he's playing with Nate Hancock. You've already mentioned these guys, Nate Hancock and The Declaration, who are appearing four times, I guess, in
this
series. Tell me a little bit about Nate Hancock and The Declaration. Don't know anything about him.
Well, we had them in this last summer, and they knocked the socks off of Justice Knows. They just blew everybody's mind. And we had talked about having to come in as a band in residence, which, I like to mix it up, Luke. So I'm a little shy of having the same band in, every night after night. But like I said, they did real well. They were up for being a part of the Americana Music Series, and they were up for not only playing their stuff, but also collaborating with other musicians that I might bring in. And so similar to what we did last year with Let Them Roar as an anchor band and bringing in featured guests, Nate Hancock and The Declaration are going to be that anchor for our series this year. Yeah. And they will do a set of music, and then during their set break, we'll have our featured guest. John Carlin will be one of those, as you mentioned, on the 12th. And then the band, Nate Hancock and The Declaration, will come back on the stage after that 20 or 30 minute set by our featured guest. They'll join the guest, and hopefully they'll be able to collaborate on two or three songs. I mean, I'm leaving the art to the artists, but my wish and my hope is that they'll be able to jam together on a few tunes, and then Nate Hancock and The Declaration will take it to the finish line.
Okay, and two of those special guests you mentioned close out the series. The first, Jill Cohn, who's actually quite well known to KDNK listeners. We have probably 10 or 12 of her CDs, a prolific artist.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that I did not know.
And she recently relocated to the Valley.
That's right. Yeah, I think she's down in Glenwood Springs now. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then Lisa Mack also was another person who sent an inquiry to me about playing at Justice Snows. And she had that something that just grabbed me, and I immediately knew, yes, this will work. And, I don't have a lot of opportunity at Justice Knows to present music like that. It's really not a listening room. And for the Americana series,
Now, what do you mean by that, Brad? I have to break in there. Sure. To me, it seems like a listening room because it's not a bar. The bar's upstairs, right? It's away from. What do you mean when you say it's not a listening room?
Well, you know, so Justice Knows, I guess, does have a listening room component to it. That lower salon has been very successful for the poetry brothel and for the writ large programs. But the music takes place up by the bar.
Oh, it does.
Yes.
Okay.
And
so
it'll be,
now I see.
Yeah, and it will be that way for the Americana Music Series. You know, we've done brunches in the past, and those kinds of opportunities lend themselves more to the solo singer-songwriter type of performance. But the Wednesdays and Sunday nights I've been programming have been mostly bands with some kind of punch, some kind of oomph, some percussive element to them, something that's going to people are going to hear out on the street and bring them in the door. And we've got a lot of, you know, we're in a very high traffic area right there on the corner by the Wheeler Opera House. So we have a lot of walk-up patrons. And, part of my programming philosophy for Justice Knows is got to get something in that corner by the bar that's gonna attract people. So to be able to... to be able to put these women singer-songwriters, all of them strong in their own right, in their own way, with their voices and with their songwriting, to be able to put them in front of hopefully what will be a lot of people in that room, in that setting. It's all about doing something for them that hopefully furthers their audience, their the people that are listening to them or paying attention to them. I really don't know how that's going to work. I'm telling them, like, okay, you know, there may be a lot of people there who really don't care about what you're doing, but you got to make them care. You got to make them listen. And the women I've chosen, I think they'll be able to pull it off. I think they'll be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Let's mention, too, in the middle there, right in the middle of the month, Pearl and Wood, Let Them Roar, two Carbondale bands.
Exactly.
Great to see them on the bill.
Yes, yes. I'm very happy to have Let Them Roar involved again. They happen to be one of my favorite Americana, local Americana bands, I have to say. I really enjoy what they do, and I enjoy them as people too. I've gotten to know them over the years, and they're all great folks and talented musicians. Again, who are striving to be creative, trying really hard to do their thing and pulling it off.
Yeah.
I think when I'm in the audience and I'm listening to Let Them Roar, I like what I hear. I have a good time.
Yeah.
And of course Olivia Pevick is a strong feminine vocal presence in that band, and Sophia as well. I'm blanking on her last name right now, but there's some women in that band, of course, and then Pearl and Wood, Natalie and Ellie. I just think that what they're doing is awesome.
Yeah,
Well,
any band with a cello, you have to love.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's two women who, again, are talented, creative, they've got a cool sound, and they've added a drummer to their show. It fits. It fits perfectly with the mission of this particular Americana music series.
Well, let's mention that all shows are free. There's
Can you no believe call. It?
How did you do that?
Well... that's just the way we do it. Justice Knows.
It's a secret. We're not telling anybody.
We just do it, and that's...
Well, congratulations on that, dude.
Yeah.
That's really super cool.
Well, I don't deserve the congratulations there. That's all Kylie.
Yeah, well, thank you, Kylie.
Yeah.
We love you.
Yeah. And, you know, if we have a third part of our mission, the first being showcasing women's voices, the second being... celebrating music that's distinctly American. Perhaps the third leg of our mission with this series is go see free live music in the Roaring Fork Valley, not just at Justice Snow's. Go see free live music at the Red Onion, at Slow Groovin' Barbecue, at the Aspen Brewing Company. These are just a handful of venues up and down the Roaring Fork Valley. Heather's is another one. The Glenwood Springs Brew Garden in Glenwood Springs. These guys are just shelling out money. Where does it come from to present live music to the public at no charge? And that is laudable.
Indeed it is. And thanks for your part in doing that.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us on.
Nice lineup. So is there any place people can visit to get more information?
JusticeSnows.com. Okay. I believe there's a entertainment calendar there. So any information that you may have missed, you can go check that out. And I'm pretty sure there's links to the band homepage is there, so you can check out their music, see if it's something you want to get more taste of, find out more information, fill in the blanks where I haven't.
Are these night gigs, Brad, or opera ski?
They are. These are all evening shows from 9 p.m. to midnight. Let Them Roar will be doing two brunch appearances, and that will be from 11:30 to 2:30. Let Them Roar approached me about this. And again, it just happened to fall right into the Americana Music Series. But they wanted to do something a little more acoustic. And so, we thought that, the Sunday brunches would be a good opportunity for them to stretch out in that direction. And, you know, Let Them Roar, I don't know what that's going to be like. It's going to be interesting to see what they bring and how they bring it. Those guys, they really are all about experimenting.
Well, Brad, thanks for doing what you're doing and letting us know about it.
Well, thank you, Luke, for helping us get the word out. I also want to thank the Aspen Times coming on as a co-presenter for our Americana Music Series. And, of course, I'd like to thank KDNK for coming on as a co-presenter of the Americana Music Series. You guys, do I have words to describe just how important KDNK is to the Roaring Fork community? I don't. I don't have words that would accurately... there you go. I don't have words.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll just have to do.
That is good enough, my friend. Brad Mansevitz, thank you so much. And be sure to look for several of the bands playing at Justice Snow's next month to show up on this very show, Express Yourself, over the next several weeks. Stay with us. Sam Bush coming up next. Back coming up on 4:30. If you just joined us, this is the Express Yourself show on KDNK. One of the mandolin masters of our time travels through our valley next week, and you have two chances to see Sam Bush Wednesday at the Belly Up and Thursday at the Youth Theater in Rifle. KDNK's Bob Schultz caught up with Sam a while ago to talk about his newest CD, Story Man, which we'll get to in just a moment. But first, Mountain Groove Productions is generously offering a pair of free tickets to the Sam Bush Show and Rifle. Call me here in the studio, 963-2976, to win those tickets. Tell me the name of another band that Sam played in. All right, here are Bob and Sam.
We're talking with Sam Bush today, the among other things, the King of Telluride, winner of countless bluegrass music awards, one of the most respected musicians around. He released an excellent CD with his band in 2016 titled Story Man, and it's received lots of airplay here on KDNK. Welcome, Sam.
How's it going today?
You know, life is good. Life Great. Is really good. Hey, I'd like to talk a little bit about Story Man as we're getting started. Kind of a collection of story songs written with your bandmates and friends, and some of the songs to me represent kind of like vignettes into your life, important times, growing up on a farm, talking about your dad, the long bus ride to go see Lynn, dealing with cancer, and celebrating the joy of live performance. What kind of brought out that singer-songwriter part of you for this CD?
Well, I mean, part of it is just the learning to experience the joy of co-writing with others, you know, for me, I always grew up as a player and that learned to sing and then ended up being the lead singer. And but in turn, I co-wrote with a guy named Steve Brines in the 70s. But we sort of did it by mail. He would send me the lyrics and I would make up the music and then we'd have a song. Well, but in this case, you know, but it was and basically started me out with John Pinnell and Jeff Black. Sitting and writing together, it's a joyful experience if you get past the idea that one of you can ruthlessly look at the other one and go, that's terrible, we can't say that. And so that's how John Pinnell would do me, I learned to enjoy the experience of, you know, saying to each other, we might not like what you just said. and then to get past that and come out of it with a good song that you both like, that's a pretty joyful thing and something that you will share. And so to get to sit down with, you know, Guy Clark, for instance, and write, that's really something. I always considered Guy just one of the masters of songwriting. And he never he didn't use too many words. You know, he always got right to the point, and that was kind of the way Guy was about everything and the way he made his guitars. When Guy and I were writing, we realized that we'd written another song, and then we realized, okay, we've both been through our own deals with cancer, and that we wanted to write one from the point of view of the patient and the loved one that's watching you go through that, because we realize people would ask you how you are, but they tend to not think about how your loved one's doing watching you go through this, because you're going through it together.
I went to see the doctor. This is what the doctor said. I went to see the doctor. This is what the doctor said. You got a bad case of that old C, boy. You know you're gonna wind up dead. You know my doctor gave me everything I need.
Yeah, it was sad that we lost Guy last year, but it was nice to hear that song and think about him when we got it on your CD.
Yeah, for me, when I hear the song, it's actually I tend to smile thinking of Guy and the impish grin right down to the end that he would have and me telling, you know, Guy, that song might make some people kind of squeamish, and Guy just looked up and said, tough. he was a true master. I miss him. He was a great musical brother as well as a personal big brother.
My daddy loved that farm. He damn near worked us all to death. He loved a fiddle tune. He played 'em to his dying breath. My mama was a saint. Lord, she left this earth too soon. If there's a heaven up above, they're dancing to a fiddle tune.
Bowling Green, Bowling Green. There's nothing left in those foothills but lonesome melodies. You can have my years, but you can't have their memories. I'll see you in my dreams, Bowling Green.
On one of the songs you wrote with John Randall Stewart, it's about your home place, Bowling Green, Kentucky, or thereabouts.
Yeah, this is not about the Bowling Green Massacre, but it is about the. You can edit that part out.
Maybe they'll play the song at the memorial for the massacre.
Well, you know what? John Randall and I, of course, we met in Emmylou's Nash Ramblers, and 1990, and John Randall and I, you know, always were talking about writing together, and he's become a major songwriter in Nashville, and so he came over, and when he came over, he said, "Man, I got this song." He said, "Yeah, I think you're gonna like this," and he started singing the first verse, and he had almost the first verse written. And it was about my parents and my parents' love of music, and they danced together to, you know, square dances when they were young, and my dad played the fiddle and my mom played guitar, and it was he played it for Lynn and I, and had us both tearing up there. I said, okay, we got to write this one. So all of a sudden the chorus became Bowling Green, which is where I'm from, Bowling Green, Kentucky. And so I never thought I'd be writing a song with Bowling Green as one of the main words in the chorus, but it was about my dad's love of fiddle music, and boy, he loved it. And it stated right in the lyrics. He liked to play a tune called Tennessee Wagner, and he just called it the Wagner. And of course, when I started playing fiddle, if he's walking by and I got a fiddle in my hands, he'd look up and say, "Play the Wagner." and the reason it says he loved to saw the Wagner, the one from Tennessee. Well, over the years in fiddle contests, the great Texas fiddlers would play the Wagner, but they would put in a couple more chords in it, and my dad would refer to it as the Texas Wagner. That, no, I don't want to hear that Texas Wagner. I want to hear the Tennessee Wagner, like Tommy Jackson played it. And so that's why we'd refer to that. And then in the same verse, we call it, you say, "A Little Soldier's Joy." Love the tune "Soldier's Joy." And somebody, when a fiddler would play "Soldier's Joy," my dad would almost always say, "Soldier's Joy, payday in the Army." That's the Soldier's Joy, payday. And it is a true love. And then we tried to weave in, you'll notice, certain fiddle tunes, and Soldier's Joy is one of those. As we play through it for instrumental passages, we would play version of bits of Soldier's Joy. And then at the very end, we play the old fiddle tune, Whiskey Before Breakfast. Mm-hmm. So that tune is in honor of my parents' love of music.
In my hurry, I can't ever seem to get nowhere. When I play it out, close my eyes and I am see you again. So I'm sending out this signal that I'm traveling to you as fast as I can. To the crowded station gate, among the Sundays just to make it through. Another window and this terminal wait. There ain't no easy way to pay these dues. Save these transcendental meditation blues.
One of the tunes that's got a lot of play here on KDNK, Transcendental Meditation Blues. Is that phrase just a nice hook, or do you have some relationship to Transcendental Meditation?
Well, Jeff Black came up with that phrase. Oh, okay. No, I have not studied Transcendental Meditation, and neither is Jeff. But the idea of the patience, I guess, of getting from point A to point B, and yeah, in the way Jeff and I write, and especially Jeff, I invite all listeners to check out Jeff Black. He's just he writes in a way where the songs could have many different meanings, and in that way, it all revolved about me telling Jeff the story of summer. I think it was 78. Transmission was out of my car, and I lived down in Barron County, Kentucky, and I would ride the Greyhound bus up to see Lynn in Louisville, which right there, that's true love, you know, when you're riding the bus 2.5 hours. And the story of the bus breaking down, and of course, when you go up I-65 in Kentucky, it doesn't just go straight up to Louisville from there. You got to get off and take the back roads and go through Fort Knox. And I just remember that bus ride. First, the air conditioner went out, and it was about 100-degree day in an August day in Kentucky. Hot, very humid. And first thing, you know, the air conditioner goes out, and then about 30 miles later, that bus just came to smoke blew out the back. It came to a rolling halt right in Fort Knox. So the Fort Knox, Kentucky, the Army base. And so we came to a halt, and of course, no cell phones or anything. And but, you know, Lynn was at the Louisville bus station checking their schedules, and then I guess she learned that bus had broke down. And finally, a few hours later, when they had sent another bus down and picked us up and brought us into Fort Knox, she was waiting. But that's even in the little bridge of the you know, are you waiting? When I'm broke down, are you waiting? Mm-hmm. And so that could mean a few things. And it's funny when we first wrote the song. Well, actually, when we arranged it for the band, Lynn had made the comment, "Man, that sounds like an old New Grads Revival song," and I guess it kind of does.
Yeah, there's kind of a career spanning. There's the instrumental that I can't remember the name of right now that has all the time changes in it. Reminds me of a Strength in Numbers song, and that one reminds me of...
that's the one that the five of us in the band wrote together, Chris Brown, Scott Vestal, Stephen Mogin, and Todd Parks and I. It's funny, we got together to write that tune, and I had an idea, and thinking, I've always been, and still am, influenced by the great John McLaughlin and the Mahavishnu Orchestra, and or many things that John McLaughlin, the different types of music he's played over the years, especially his love of Indian music, you know, the great Indian from India masters that John has played with, and so I had an idea, and I don't know, it wasn't where we needed to go probably, and I joke about it, but I swear it's true. We got together to write at our house here, and then there were workmen coming and going that day, and the phone's ringing, and so we'd write a little bit, and then I'd need to answer the phone or speak to a worker, and I swear every time I left the room and came back, the tune got better. but one of the reasons we call it "It's Not What You Think" is because I swear, I think I get confused sometimes, and I don't know if I'm the only one, but it's like the two jazz guys and the people who are actually, you know, educated in jazz, Chris on drums and Todd on bass. They say, "No, the one beat is here." And I go, "Really? I thought the one beat was here." And the bottom line is, you know, those of us in the band, maybe not as educated as others, although Stephen is a University of Massachusetts vocal major. So maybe I'm just speaking for myself. Maybe the fiddler doesn't always understand where the one beat is, but the bottom line is we can play it together. So as long as you feel it and play it, You don't have to count it out. So that's why I think that's one of the reasons we called it. Well, that is one of the reasons we called it. It's not what you think, because the one beat isn't where I think it is sometimes.
And it ended up working out great.
Yeah.
I just want to feel something, make the music right. I just want to feel something, get down the rhythm tight.
One more tune on there I wanted to mention, ask you about a little bit. I just want to feel something. It seems like an anthem, kind of, in a way, for the Sam Bush Band. Just a real celebration of getting out there and playing. What brought that song along?
That is exactly what it is. It's simply put, and nothing heavy stated there. But I just want to feel something. And, you know, let's make the music right. Let's keep the rhythm tight. And I mean, that's when it's tight, it's right on stage. And I think one of the things about our band is we like that rhythm. Is like rhythm is, you know, one of the defining factors of us. And when we're hitting on all cylinders, man, that rhythm is tight. And I'll jokingly say, I just want to feel something before I get too old. But John Randall and I wrote that one too, and just the idea, the rhythm of it, we came from he and I discussing how much we loved to listen to Delaney and Bonnie and Friends. Hmm. And for me, I was just a youngster, late teens and early 20s when Delaney and Bonnie was really hitting it. You know, they were hitting it. Boy, it's a great band, and especially maybe their acoustic record Motel Shot and John Randall later, you know, younger than me, came along, but he too in love with Delaney and Bonnie's music. And the way Delaney Bramlett played guitar, it's almost that kind of rhythm the way he plays. If you go back and listen to on a Dwayne Allman anthology, Dwayne playing "Come On In My Kitchen" with Delaney and Bonnie, that acoustic version, Delaney's acoustic playing, really really cool way to play, and kind of what we the kind of thought and the rhythm of it, the whole thing. So just that's exactly what that song's about, just the love of jamming and I just want to feel something. Don't you want to feel it too? Let's all feel it together right now.
And you're gonna have a chance 4 times here in Colorado with the Sam Bush Band. So you've been out on the road now for a while with these new songs. Which one of them are really opening up for you live in concert? What are you enjoying playing from the CD?
Feel Something. I Just Want to Feel Something is a really good one to play. And as you mentioned, Transcendental Meditation. All the ones we've been taught, Bowling Green's a good one. One thing that we've been kind of, we sort of start a riff and play into it. Sometimes we'll start a riff and play for 3 or 4 minutes before we bust into the tune. You got to play by your own rules.
Right.
And once again, you know, kind of just a positive thought. I think Steven started that thought pattern on that song. And we just made up a fiddle tune kind of riff to play along with that. So that one, last year we were using it kind of start the show, kind of get us going and get all the instruments, you know, kind of just start riffing a little bit before we tear into something. And so, That one is really fun to play on stage.
Nice. So you spend a lot of time out on the festival circuit, and one of the things you've always been great about is sharing the stage with other musicians. Who out there are you hearing, young performers, that you think KDNK listeners ought to check out?
Gosh, good question. I there's so many. I just heard him on part of his band on Brown Companion. You know, of course, I love the Punch Brothers. Sarah Jarosz is really great. Who else is really a wonderful performer that's getting her due now, especially last year at the IBMA, the Bluegrass Awards, Sierra Hall.
Yeah, that,
love hearing Sierra.
That Weighted Mind CD was fantastic.
It is, and I love the way Bela Fleck produced that one, and it's just such a great job of bringing her mantle into the forefront, because she's a wonderful player and totally deserving of the Bluegrass Award she got last year for favorite mandolin player. I still like some of the boys that create the noise that I've been enjoying so long. I still love Leftover Salmon and the Drew Emmett Band and Green Sky Bluegrass, and it's fun for me to not only sit in with, but especially listen to the infamous String Dusters. Really love them. They got a great band.
Boy, and that new CD of their Laws of Gravity is getting a lot of play here on KDNK. A really nice release from them.
It is. I mean, they are wonderful, and such a personification of a band that makes this great band sound and perform so well together. Oh man, they're great.
Well, the good news for Coloradans, Sam Bush Band is going to be playing 4 dates in February and 4 nights. You're going to need a little nap after those 4 shows, but.
I need a little nap in the middle of every day. Are you kidding?
Belly Up in Aspen on February 22nd, the Ute Theater in Rifle on February 23rd, and down in Boulder at the Boulder Theater on the 24th. Winter Wondergrass, don't worry about that one because it's sold out, and that's going to be at Steamboat this year. But some chances to see the fabulous Sam Bush and the Sam Bush Band live. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us, Sam.
My great pleasure. Thank you, and sure, I appreciate the KDNK playing our tunes. Thank you for playing them, and it sure helps us, and love you for it.
You keep playing them, and we'll keep playing them.
I will.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
Take a hold of the wheel and turn it for yourself. Live like you ain't ever gonna lose. Choose to be the one who favors kindness over wealth. Don't be somebody else's fool. You've gotta play by your own rules. There's a thin, thin line between the rhymes and the truth. Not knowing who's in charge of either one. Visions of tomorrow always well within my view, begging me to chase the setting sun. Take a hold of the wheel and turn it for yourself. Live like you ain't ever gonna lose. Choose to be the one who favors kindness over wealth. Don't be somebody else's fool. You've gotta play by your own rules. See the darkness for the rain. Steady is the path that'll lead you safely through. Don't hurry, cause you'll get there just the same. Take a hold of the wheel and turn it for yourself. Live like you ain't ever gonna lose. Choose to be the one who favors kindness over wealth. Don't be somebody else's fool. Gotta play by your own rules. Be a shining light. Be a helping hand. Be a giving heart. Be a patient.
One and only Sam Bush And as of 2 hours ago, both local shows next week still had tickets available. Wednesday at the Belly Up in Aspen, Thursday at the Youth Theater in Rifle. Congratulations to Bill Woolley for winning the free tickets to the Youth Theater. Special thanks to Josh Berman and Mountain Groove Productions for providing those. And that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you for listening. Please remember to go out there and express yourself.